Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole.
Welcome to News for the Soul's 20th anniversary broadcast series. News for the Soul, the longest running spiritual empowerment and exploration broadcast in North America, started its 21st year in January 2018, and we're just getting warmed up. It's time to take it to the next level, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth in our 21st year with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. So if you're ready to find out together, get ready for life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Platinum Edition, here is News for the Soul.
Joins us now. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, here I am.
Good. That's excellent. It's a good place to be. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Nicole?
Good, good, good. We needed the power of angels to get it all sorted out in the last 4 minutes. Holy doodles. Lots going on here.
I know, but it's interesting because it's a synchronistic, Nicole. It's a useful lesson for me, and I'm learning from it. Because last Tuesday I was meant to go into Watkins, and it was half term, and I said I wouldn't go, and then I changed my mind and I went. And what happened was it was more or less empty the whole day, which is really unusual, and only one person came. And I had my intent that I wasn't going to be there, and I changed my mind. And today I had a big family party because my niece was bat mitzvahed, and it was touch and go. I was almost going to say to you, I won't do it this week, and so I stopped it. And then what happened? It just reminds me of how we, how powerful we are in terms of our thought.
Yes.
And
all right,
so
it was your fault. Okay.
So I'll take responsibility for it, and I don't mind. It's all good.
It is all good, and it's just all about learning and growing, and it's an important reminder to realize how powerful we are. We don't realize, you know? We forget often.
And what happens is that sometimes the more casual I am about it all in terms of thinking, the more powerful it is. And people talk about it, you know, in terms of having intent and focus to be more powerful. But I sometimes find that when I'm doing that, I think I attach anxiety to the message. And when I'm just being much more relaxed and playful, it seems to be things are much easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, anxiety and angels don't really go together in the same sentence much, do they?
I don't know, though, because I think it's when I'm anxious that I mostly cry out to my angels saying, oh, help me, what's going on here? So, quite often. Anyway, so there we are.
So, well, let's get you here to reintroduce yourself and your show before we get carried away.
All right. I'm Wendy Jane Ehrlich. I live in England, in Devon. I work from... every Tuesday from Watkins Book, which is the oldest esoteric bookshop in the country. And it's a very magical place. J.K. Rowling-based florist and block on it. And Diagon Alley is based in Cecil Court, where I work. So I'm author of the book, The Gift of an Angel. My main work is I'm an intuitive coach. And I can connect to my angel and give messages. So I do it with a little sprinkle of angel dust. So that's me. I have a couple of kids who are young adults, as of my sons, and a dog called Flo. So there we are. Here I am, and I'm kind of ready to go. I don't know if you wanted to work on the book again. I had opened it on a page while I was okay. It seems to be quite interesting.
So each time there's new listeners, so you want to remind them, about what the show's about and what your book's about and what we were doing.
Okay, so my book's The Gift of an Angel, and it's about the journey to integrate spirituality into everyday life. And that's the journey that we, that people have been taking in terms of spiritual journey. I wrote about my spiritual journey, but in a format to help other people. So that's the thing I'm most interested in, is how we become new shift, how our reality becomes denser because we are navigating the material and the spiritual rather than separating them.
Your phone or microphone, it's kind of coming in and out a little bit.
Can you hear me now? How's it now?
Okay, now we got you. Now you're back.
Now. Okie dokie, that's good. All right, that's fine. All righty. So did you hear most of that?
We heard most of that. So we had talked before about picking random numbers or having you do readings in some form. What would you like to do today?
Well, before I was opening, I focused and I opened on two pages of my book. That's chapter 10 in part 2, transition, and it's about being made of stardust. And I wondered if I should read that whole thing, because it's a useful reminder for all of us, whatever happening at the moment, to just know that. So should I read this? I took it from the physics.org website.
Yeah.
I'm no scientist, but we say that we're made of stardust, but we forget how sometimes. So
absolutely. Start us at the beginning and take your time with it, because that's an important area.
Okay. So this is my whole of chapter 10. I like this quote for its clarity and simplicity, taken from the physics.org website. We are all made of stardust. It sounds like a line from a poem, but there's some solid science behind this statement too. Almost every element on Earth was formed at the heart of a star. Next time you're out gazing at stars twinkling in the night sky, spare a thought for the tumultuous reactions they play host to. It's easy to forget that stars owe their light to the energy released by nuclear fusion reactions at their core. These are the very same reactions which created chemical elements like carbon or iron, the building blocks which make up the world around us. After the Big Bang, tiny particles bound together to form hydrogen and helium. As time went on, young stars formed when clouds of gas and dust gathered under the effect of gravity, heating up as they became denser. At the star's core, bathed in temperatures of over 10 million degrees C, hydrogen and then helium nuclei fused to form heavier elements, a reaction known as nucleosynthesis. This reaction continues in stars today as lighter elements are converted into heavier ones. Relatively young stars, like our sun, convert hydrogen to produce helium, just like the first stars of our universe. Once they run out of hydrogen, they begin to transform helium into beryllium and carbon. As these heavier nuclei are produced, they too are burned inside stars to synthesize heavier and heavier elements. Different sized stars play host to different fusion reactions, eventually forming everything from oxygen to iron. During a supernova, when a massive star explodes at the end of its life, the resulting high energy environment enables the creation of some of the heaviest elements, including iron and nickel. The explosion also dispenses the different elements across the universe, scattering the stardust, which now makes up planets, including the Earth. So I think what it's saying there is, because we have iron within us, that we have stars within us. And the rest of the rest of the paragraph, I was saying that it was through the realization that we all contain stardust that I was further supported in being able to connect with my own personal angel DB and carry out healing. The insight helped me to value myself and to realize that if I had stars within me, then I was of value. I was worth the effort of putting time aside to undertake my own personal spiritual journey. There were patterns of behavior that I wanted to break, and I wanted to understand myself more fully so I could be happier, and also so I could be more effective when working with clients. In particular, I sought to understand our world and its place in the cosmos from a view of appreciation and wonder. I also came to realize that due to the fact humans are energetic beings, we have the capacity to hold within our being all of our experiences, good and bad, and I find this to be remarkable. When I channel CB, that's my personal angel, Celestia Bell, she often says, pinch your skin and marvel at the divinity within. I can see how perfectly we're integrated both within the earth and the cosmos. Dan Kahn, my Viora, that's energy healing work, tutor taught me, look at yourself, you are a miracle. It is helpful to keep this deep knowledge of our interconnectedness at the forefront of my mind as it assists me in understanding and being able to use energy healing. After all, I'm part of the universe, and there's no reason why I or anyone else cannot know the secrets of the universe and tap into the unlimited cosmic energy or earth energy to help heal others and ourselves.
So how literal does that context feel for you?
I think that what I like about it is the fact that it's I know that my body I convert it into Judaism. I'm taught that my body is a whole holy vessel that should be treated with a lot of respect. So that within my body, I know that there is actually stardust. So it makes me feel, because I know there's iron in my body. So it makes me feel as though I'm completely part of everything. And it also makes me realize that if I channel energy, I've spoken before on this program about making sure that when we give healing, that we don't use our own body to give healing, that we actually latch on to the sun, or sometimes I use Chiron, but we latch on to the star and bring down cosmic energy and use that to flow through us. I use myself as a conduit to give healing. So I think what the reason I really love the quote is that it makes me feel very settled, and it makes me feel kind of as being a miracle, not being a big-headed miracle, but just aware that if I can contain divinity, everyone else contains divinity. Yeah. So I do see it very literally, but I also see it as also very organically, because we don't want to be channeling cosmic energy all the time, because as I said before, it makes you very ungrounded, and then away you go, you don't get home, or things happen. So because you get lost on the way. So within the context of it, we are here having a spiritual being, having a human experience, being grounded, making manifest the divine. We have so much help because we have stars within us.
What kind of experiences have you had using that energy, both good and bad, learning experiences and successes?
Okay. I sometimes like to use the star Chiron to use for healing. I've learned to moderate the energy and to use words very carefully in the thoughts, exactly as I was saying before, in terms of what's going on tonight. I've learned to be very careful. So I had a client once, and of course it is confidential, but I was working with a client, I won't say her name. She was in Europe, and I used the star of Chiron to do some cleansing. I said, bring it down, bring down the light of Chiron, bring up the earth energy, mix it, ask it to take any trauma, and then drain it. Okay, so that's fine, but I didn't say, to rate that's acceptable to you and will not hurt you. And it's very powerful energy. So she did the exercise. She brought down the energy from Chiron. And brought up the energy from the earth. I was saying to her to just completely feel it saturate every element of your body, take any negativity, drain, and then bring down the energy of the sun, bring up the energy of the earth, so you're prepared again. Okay, so that's all good. The session finished. I was working with her quite intensely, so I worked with her again the next day, and she came on to Skype, and she said to me, look here, Wendy, I brought down the energy of Chiron yesterday, there's a huge blood blister on my forehead. So what happened was that the energy had, she had huge, like circle on her head that was maybe two, do you have centimeters or inches? 2 inches across? Ooh, big.
We understand inches, and but both, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's quite a large circle on her head. And she, of course, was absolutely thrilled at kind of the evidence of the effectiveness of the work. But I was sitting in England going, oh, crikey, what's my insurance? I was really, you know, like, I was really taken aback and worried about it. So now I change my instruction. I say very clearly, bring down the energy of Chiron at a rate that's acceptable to you and will not hurt you. And it hasn't happened again.
Mm.
So that,
wow.
That was a kind of, yeah, I know. That's pretty cool, though.
Interesting. What else have you learnt through using those energies?
Well, from the Biora energy healing, I've learnt to be really careful with it, because you can bring up the energy. People who, you know, maybe you've had experience of Reiki. So anyone who's listened to this is a Reiki practitioner. They know what I'm talking about. I'm trained in the Biora energy tradition, which is using the red energy of the earth to bring that up and to bring down the energy of the cosmos. They didn't actually train us to use Chiron. That was just me messing around. Well, not messing around, just expanding a bit. So I've learned to be really, really careful with these energies when healing, because I had a case that was quite sad. I am going to change the facts around it a bit, Nicole, because I don't want it to be identified, but it is interesting. This was a client who had cancer, and unfortunately he'd been given 3 months to live. And when I went to see him, he was in bed and he was basically waiting to die because he had 3 months to live. And I was very young and cock-a-hoop. I was so arrogant when I'd finished the Biora course, because I'd graduated like top. They'd said, I had a lot of praise when I was doing Biora, you know, about the fact I had the juice and I was so psychic and so good at it, la, 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 la. I was really, this was 10 years ago. I was really a madam, actually, if that's the right phrase. I was very, very overconfident. So this was a very big lesson, because I went to this person and I gave them the healing, the Biora energy. He had cancer, 3 months to live. And it was really amazing. I mean, this guy was up. And the next time I went there, he met me from the station. He was out of bed and he was walking around. And I then had a lot of hope. And one of the things my tutor taught me was to under-promise and over-deliver. And I had to really, there I was like, oh, well, look, you know, I'm such a good healer. And I'm sure we can beat this cancer, you know? And it was just so bad of me. It was really, I'm really horrified when I'm telling you this story. Because, of course, what happened was that he was then up and about. And he was up and about for 3 months using this energy, learning how to use it. But his allotted time was 3 months. And he died exactly in 3 months' time. And I had, and the potential there for his family, everyone had hope. And not to be able, in terms of the transition, he then died very suddenly on his own. And everybody was shocked. And people were also cross with me, understandably. And I was very mortified and angry with myself. And I've never forgotten the lesson. So
but,
now.
It was, very, you know, much better 3 months than he would have if he was just sitting in the hospital waiting to die.
I don't know, Nicole. All I know is that it's...
I mean, if he was believing, if he was up and running around and feeling better and thinking he's better, he was, his last 3 months were much more pleasant than they would have been if he was waiting to die, knowing that that was it.
But that's fine. Yeah, maybe. But in terms of my conduct as a healer, I really took myself to task over it, not to always under promise and over deliver, never to say you're going to do it. Well, cancer is very tricky, and I think it's like a coyote. It's shaped, it's here and it's there. So now I'm really, really careful with anyone who had cancer. If I work with people who in terms of that meditation, which I can give the meditation today on the show if you'd like me to, make you feel amazing. But I do say now, just be very careful with that energy. Don't overextend yourself if you're ill. You know, use it carefully, use it gently. And then I no longer play God. I no longer make any predictions in terms of people. So, I don't know about that story. I just think it's a very interesting case study. And I hope that if anybody connects to that story, I shouldn't think they're listening. But, I would have done things much differently now. I would do things much more differently. I wouldn't behave like that. But then these lessons are very hard, earned lessons.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. There was some positive in that. I still see some positive in that. So, you know. But yeah, you're right. It's all learning and feedback and growth. And bottom line of it means, you know, there's still something real to all this and things are happening. So how long is this? Tell me about this meditation you mentioned. How long is it? What is it for? What does it do? And what can people expect?
The meditation that I offer is the basic meditation they taught me on the Biora energy course. So I'm giving them credit for it. It's a basic flush that healers use. And it is fantastic, Nicole, because it's basic drawing down, flush and re-energizing. But again, be careful with it because the body, you can use it to give yourself energy and to move. But I still think that things have their time and they have their place and they have what they're meant to have. So not to squander it. If you use it, I'll give the meditation. It's not to get too addicted to it. It's like helium, you know? Because I think it can make you a bit ungrounded in a way. I don't know. All of this stuff is just gently with it, gently learning, you know, verifying it. But I've had remarkable things happen with using this technique as well, in terms of channeling the energy down. And yes, that story happened. But I've seen people who have burnt their hand, and I've used Biora energy, and it's healed it very quickly.
So how long does the meditation take?
The meditation takes me about 5 minutes. It's probably good. Oh. I could do it now. If you'd like me to do it now, I can do it.
Okay, here's what we'll do is we'll put some background healing music on and take your time. 5 minutes seems really quick. Maybe just drag it out a bit. Take your time with it so we can really feel into it. And I'm just trying to find the background music, having said that. It's coming momentarily. And then any last instructions? Let's have them now.
Well, if people are doing this meditation, you should be sitting quietly, not doing it. If you're driving, don't do it, please. If you're walking around, please don't do it. You actually need to be at home, sitting with your feet on the ground. Okay, and before we even start, make sure you're not going to be interrupted. If you're going to be interrupted, then just listen to the background music, which you should be here in a moment. Okay? Hello, Nicole,
yes,
are you
here
there?
Here it is. Here it is.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so close your eyes and imagine that you're dipped in liquid gold. Nothing can come in and nothing will out. The achieve came from your head, far, far through the universe, throughout star the sun. Very gently, almost as though you have a vacuum cleaner on your head. Draw down the light of the sun and place it in your heart. And feel it illuminate you and lift you up. And know that you're a miracle, that you're a divine being, and that you have every right to be here. Feel the love and the energy of the sun. And when you've done that, just take a breath and sit silently for a moment. Still seeing yourself dipped in liquid gold. Nothing can come in and nothing can go out. Send a tube from your foot to the center of the earth and bring up the red energy of the mother very gently at a rate that accepts you and will not hurt you and place it in your heart. And then just take a moment, take a breath. Now gently merge the two energies into a beautiful, vibrant pink and feel them saturate every cell of your body. the top of your head to the tip of your toes, almost as if you were a sponge and you left in the bath and someone forgot to turn off the tap. Completely heavy and oozing and saturated into the core of your being, into your DNA, into your dark shadow, into your light shadow, into your past lives, into every aspect of your beautiful self, completely heavy with this mixed energy of earth and sun. And just allow it to settle for a little while. Just really feel it settle in. Now, once more, send a tube to your head, again to our sun, and drawing down the light of the sun and placing it in your heart. Feel again that you are a miracle and that you have every right to be here. Now ask the combined energy to take any trauma, any childhood trouble, any angst, any toxins, anything if you're empathetic you've picked up from anyone, anything that's lurking in the cells of your cellular body that shouldn't be there, it's causing you to be in discomfort or out of alignment. And see that energy change colour. Just imagine that you're just kind of, it may be turned into the colour of ink or green, whichever colour is the right colour. But ask it to take any trauma, any hurt, any trial, and let it change colour. And then become aware of the colour that your body has changed into. And very gently, when you're ready, still seeing yourself dipped in liquid gold, when you're ready, allow that energy, that detoxed energy, to drain out through your feet into the earth. And she will receive it for you. Don't be afraid to let it all go. Change it into white cosmic light. As it goes. Just let it all go. Just let the whole thing go. Let it all go. Now, still seeing yourself in liquid gold. Nothing can come in and nothing can go out. Once more, send a tube from your head, but again to our star, our sun, and again bring it down with the full knowledge of your access, your right to access the divine, your right to be productive, your right to be here, your right to bring your gifts to the world. Bring down the light of the sun and place it in your heart and really feel it illuminate you and light you up from within. And know that you're loved, know that you're blessed. And allow that feeling to settle. Now, once more, send the tube from your foot to the center of the earth. And again, bring up the energy of the mother as far as the solar plexus. This is to ground you and to nourish you. The earth is your mother. She's your friend. She wants you to be happy. The happier you are, the more you give to her. As you walk on her surface for all the days of your life as a miracle, bring in your gift with your heart that doesn't stop beating, even when you're asleep. Feel the energy of the mother and know that she's always there to receive you and to nourish you when you need her. Now just sit for a few moments and become aware of yourself. Listen to your heart, listen to your breath. Become aware of the fact that you have every right to joy. And when you are ready, very gently open your eyes and come back into the room. And maybe take a drink of water, stamp your feet a little, put your hand across your head and say to your crown, close off your crown, just stamp around. If you don't feel grounded, maybe if you can, perhaps you know what grounds you. Chocolate does if you're not diabetic. Drink of water. Have a little stamp around. And you should be feeling refreshed and ready to start the day. And that's the end of that meditation, Nicole.
All right. That's very nice. Have you ever considered doing a long version of that one?
Sorry?
That's very nice. Have you considered ever doing a long version of that one, where there's a little more space in between to really feel into it?
I could do. Usually I do that with my clients one-to-one. and I do it at their pace. So they tap when they've got to the pace. But it was hard for me. I would have to do it without anyone tapping. I should have asked you to tap for me, Nicole, to do it with me. But so I hope there was enough breath that someone got it okay. I hope it as a practice. But you're right. Another time, some of my clients have been asking me to record it for them. So I will do it. I have it actually up on my blog there, but it's a bit of a raw one. I could do it again at some point.
Yeah, because it can be very effective for sure. Absolutely.
Oh, it's great. And you know what? If you have a business meeting and you want to get some energy in quick, if you're tired, you can that meditation in 10 minutes, it completely brings you back to yourself. And re-energizes you. It's a good meditation to have up your sleeve. But the way the healers will use it is they bring down the energy, and they bring it up. Excuse me. So the from the earth, the energy you actually use earth and sky energy binds to give healing. And so that's what Reiki people are doing when they have the hands on the shoulders. They're pulling down the energy from the cosmos. And quite often you see Reiki practitioners, they look very lit up from within. They have an inner glow, and that's how they're getting it.
So what else do we need to know about being Stardust?
What do you think we need to know? I think we need to know about our potential, and that we're both small and large, you know, because like sometimes we feel small, but when really we're large. But if that makes sense, I don't know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But I think the thing to know about it is that we're connected to the greater whole, but then we also have our own individual power.
So how else can people use that knowledge in their lives?
Well, the other thing that is helpful, I suspect, with the actual meditation is that it brings you into alignment again. And so when you're connected to source, when I'm connected to source, if I just talk about myself, I feel that I'm more in grace, and that when I'm walking, things that I need come to me. So for example, and I don't want to be superficial about it, because also I'm interested in the greater good. You know, so I use it to think that everybody is a miracle and everyone's perfect. And then I also use it in terms of being able to manifest the things that I need. They kind of just come my way.
So I'm just keeping an eye on the time here. We've got about 13 minutes to the top. And would you like me to do an intuitive pick on your book reading for today?
Yeah, if you'd like to.
Okay.
Please go ahead.
I'm just going to tune in to see what the collective, I'm going to let it guide me. And give me a moment, I'm tuning in.
You're good.
Need an extra minute to tune in. We need some tuning in music on the air today, I think. Okay, I'm getting page 53.
Let's see what's on page 53. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. This is talking about exactly what I was... you're so clever, Nicole. You've just come in from the end of conversation. There's something we hadn't said in terms of being a healer. So shall I just read it, because it's very clear? Okay. So these are some things that I have learned while working as an angel channeler, energy healer, and intuitive coach, which I would like to share with you. All healing and channeling should be a mechanism for empowerment and not an imposition. This is what makes it a skilled and delicate craft. If there's nothing else in this book that you take away, let it be the message. Let this be the message. Both healing and channeling are aids to empowerment and growth, not mechanisms for disempowerment and dependency. With regards to your relationship with your healer or channeler or your own personal angel, If you feel you are being imposed upon or directed against your will, or if something doesn't feel right, then draw back and disengage. It's a subtle difference and really relates to power. The healer or channeler must have worked on their own personal issues and have the ability to disengage and draw back. Put simply, it's a difference between being in a codependent relationship or in true love. The first feels heavy and the second feels light. A codependent relationship may contain elements of abuse, whereas true love contains freedom. CB teaches me again and again to nullify or remove myself. Often a client will come and tell me their dilemma. I may start coaching or interpreting or sympathizing, but if I ask Celestial Bell, my angel, I will get a completely different view. I need to remember that the client is not coming to hear from me. They are coming to hear from CB. Whichever judgment I may want to rush to experience has taught me to draw back and really listen and take notice of what the client is saying and of what CB is saying. Healing is a sacred act, and accepting healing, the client is giving a gift. This is something that I, as a healer, try to hold at the core of my consciousness. I'm always doing my best to work at my highest possible level and draw myself back. And regards to connecting to your angel, I've learnt not to be too prescriptive. I have permission from my friend Sarah to include this case study. Sarah came to visit. She wanted to be able to reach and connect with her angel more clearly. She asked me to explain how I did it. I tuned into Celestial Bell, who showed me a picture of Sarah singing in front of an audience, completely lit up and channeling angels and channeling angelic energy. Then another picture of Sarah channeling accurate information, which she couldn't possibly divine without spiritual help when reading tarot cards. I duly relayed to Sarah that she was already channeling, but just not in the same way as me. I requested that she allow and acknowledge my gift. After all, I cannot sing or speak a foreign language. My talent appears to be accessing Celestial Bell quickly. She saw the truth in that and agreed that the room lit up when she was leading singing and that she went into a bit of trance when she read tarot. So, should I carry on for a bit or finish there?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do it.
What, carry or finish?
Carry on. Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so another factor I take into consideration while undertaking healing. One of the things when you're giving healing, Nicole, is that sometimes you get messages, clairvoyant messages,
yeah.
and that can be a bit tricky because sometimes a client has just come to you for healing. And so you can't just say, well, actually, your grandmother's standing two steps behind you, because they may not, you know, it might be that it's pushing them too much to even contemplate the energy healing, let alone thinking the grandmother's there. So this chapter is just talking about it. Another factor I take into consideration when undertaking healing is how appropriate it is to give clairvoyant messages. Not everyone likes to receive these. Some people can see them as frightening. Before starting a session, I usually say something like, it's not unknown for me to receive a message from spirit. If I do, would you like me to give it to you? Then it's up to the client. And the same with past life experiences. Because this is the person's healing session, you don't want to be imposing what you think on them. So sometimes CB has given me a glimpse into the client's past life. And if it's impacting on this one, then I welcome the information. Because of the light that it shines upon the situation of the individual who may not be living to their full potential. But I take the I seek permission before giving the information. Because again, you don't want to startle people by just moving around. Because if someone's come to you for energy healing, they're there for energy healing. And it's got a framework. I'm giving Biora energy healing, 6 sessions, that's it. So suddenly, what happens when I'm doing it is that there's angels in the room or grandmothers or messages about past lives. And you don't want people to feel invaded or imposed upon by you saying, well, I see such and such. But where I worked once with another client, and I don't think she would mind, I'm not identifying her, but as a case study, she was a lovely woman, and she came to me, and we were working on difficulties with receiving money, receiving money. She, during the session, this woman liked luxurious clothes, and she made beautiful clothes of velvet and silk. And although she was British, she always considered herself to be French. She loved speaking French language, and actually her company, her clothing company, had a French name. And I saw her being guillotined in the French Revolution. And I told her, and it was that insight that she had lost, she had been a member of the French aristocracy and had lost her head, really helped her future abundance, because she said she was too afraid to hold on to money in case she got killed for it.
Interesting.
Yeah, really, really amazing. So I think when the angel, when I get a glimpse, it is useful, but you just have to make sure. I'm just so careful with it, because I don't want the person, you know, if I went to someone for healing, or you did, supposing, it's like just like me showing up for this radio show, and then you suddenly started trying to sell me life insurance.
Well, it is a little more related than that, because it's related to the healing, but yes, I understand the importance of permissions and having the clients informed, right?
Permission, the client to be empowered, being boundaried with it, being respectful, really learning to nullify myself. And that's been a big journey for me, to really not be willful and pull back. It's so easy to think, oh, I know this, la, la, la. And just to draw back and allow them to do it. And so the most powerful healing I had is when I've been tired and I haven't bothered to put much in, because I haven't been able to, and then sometimes, or put any interpretation in, and sometimes that person, they just fly. They have a big shift, and I see them in front of me completely changing, and that is such a privilege to be able to do it. I'm so grateful for this work.
So how would you summarize the approach, considering everything you covered today, for healers out there?
Well, first of all, I would say that healers out there should really love and respect themselves for the work that they're doing in terms of the big shift. And that if you're listening, I have gratitude to you, and I respect and honor you, because the earth needs some healing, and sometimes it is a sacrifice. So anyone who's been in a healer in this lifetime, who in a past life was punished for it, and they're still doing their healing, and even if people are still getting, you know, not being respected, you know, to have courage, and I know that it works, and to take care, that's what I'm saying, to, you know, in terms of the healing, to really take care of yourself when you're giving it, and that afterwards, it's so important that after this meditation, after this whole show, anyone who's listening, if at all possible, make sure you're grounded. You can ground by just imagining you close off the crown chakra, which is a chakra on top of your head. You can put your hand on it and just say close. Make sure you drink something. Don't ever do any meditations when you're driving. You know, always keep safe with it. Keep safe, keep boundaries. And to have a great deal of respect for it, because actually, you know, we can talk about it and it's out there very easily, but it's a sacred art, and you know, we're on a journey with it, learning. So it's to really, really be in awe. I'm in awe of my when I channel, I'm in complete awe if I'm giving anyone healing and they have a migraine and 2 minutes later they get up and it's gone. And that happens all the time. A woman came to see me who is a violinist. And she came for a half an hour session and she could not lift. She had a stiff shoulder. She couldn't lift her arm above her shoulder. And she's a friend of mine. So she's listening. I don't think she'll be listening, but she wouldn't mind me saying. So she had half an hour Biora energy treatment. At the end of the session, she put her hand completely up in the air. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, and you can't almost assimilate the miracles that happen with it. You can't, and they happen all the time, and because they're so big you actually can't take them in. You can't recount again, you know, it happens again and again. A fellow colleague had a lot more courage than me, and I wouldn't have this much courage. She was my another tutor. Her father had lung cancer, and she refused to let him have any chemotherapy, and she did the Biora energy healing on him, and he was completely cured. Okay, but that takes so much courage. I don't have enough courage, I don't think, I haven't got enough experience to do that with one of my clients. But that's what happened to her. And that's so rare. I mean, that someone gets cured of cancer. So, there's definitely something in all of this. And so just treat it with a lot of respect. I think that's a summary of what I'm saying. But also enjoy it and know that it's yours.
So here we are, 3 minutes to the top of the hour, and this is a perfect time, perfect segue for shameless self-promotion on how people can work with you, Wendy.
Okay, well, I'd love it if anybody wants to book a Skype session with me, and if you quote News for the Soul, I will give you a 25% reduction for this week. Because I'd love to work with some people from, I do work across the world by Skype. I'm an intuitive coach. Intuitive coaching these days has a bit of healing and angel channeling thrown in. The details of how to connect to me are, of course, on the News of the Soul website. If you're interested in this and the extracts of my book, it's a gift of an angel. You can get it on Amazon. Or if you're able to order it from your local bookshop, I like that very much because I'd like a web of people holding that book. And in Italy, I have two courses coming up, and there's a couple of spaces. One's for tarot and intuitive tarot, which I'm helping facilitate with my friend Scylla Conway, and that's in April, and that's in Tuscany. And then again in June, another one in terms of reaching your potential and removing barriers to success. So I hope that you've enjoyed this show. And if you have any comments or if you want to call in, I'll be back next week.
Yay.
And I think that's all.
Well, it is indeed. And looking forward to next week already. Wendy, have a great week.
Thank you so much, Nicole. It's so lovely to connect with you. Take good care of yourself. Enjoy your day.
You too.
And lots of love to you. Lots of love. And bye-bye.
Bye for now. Wendy, Jane. Ehrlich, all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. I've lost this switchboard. Wow, just vanished. Yeah. I don't even know if you can hear me right now. I'll keep talking in the event that you can. And if I can find the switchboard again, we can start the next show. It's been an interesting ride this morning. Lots of intriguing things happening on the board. All energy as it escalates, it's all part of the deal. I think we found it. Enjoy.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights. Life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important task, important work, because you are spreading a very positive message.
I was really moved by last week's show because we made a commitment to a worldwide event to try to change consciousness.
I'm feeling enormous energy around this show, just enormous, enormous. I really have to hand it to you, Nicole. You've created sort of a niche of amazing connections. It's just like the angels and the devatas that are like attracted to News for the Soul is amazing.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Millionaire Mindset with Anita Wheeler.
Anita, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Good to hear your voice and good to connect. It's been a little while.
It has. It certainly has. Well, I hope it's been a good month for you and things are going well. But, you know, Nicole, as I was thinking about this week and program and so forth, I started thinking that, you know, a lot of my clients and a lot of followers that I have on Twitter and different places may or may not know about News for the Soul, and it's always good to kind of go back and start over. And so I started thinking, you know, I want to talk to Nicole and, you know, kind of interview you, so to speak, about how News for the Soul got started and just kind of the, you know, general history of, because it's always interesting to go back and see how people, what their journey's about. And I know you've had a very interesting journey. You've been doing this for a long time. How many years now?
Well, we're in our 20th year now.
20th year. I was thinking 19, but I was very close. 20 years. Well, let's go back 20 years. Is that a good place to start?
It may not be the journey you expect. You may be surprised, but let's go.
All right. Well, I always like surprises. I mean, you know, that's what life is about, is surprises. So let's go back 20 years, and how did you get started?
Well, I always tell people it really wasn't my idea. It just kind of came from the universe.
Yep.
Everyone assumes I was sort of like the rose-colored glasses person, and it's quite the opposite. I had a pretty traumatic life, and I won't go into that story, but it was all negative basically up till then, predominantly, and fear-based and pretty dark with no hope. And somehow in the middle of this dark place, I heard a voice. I used to like freelance and work as a journalist at that point when I was well enough to. So I had, you know, a natural keen coordination around it. And so it wasn't totally out of the blue, but it could have been and pretty much was, because this voice said that I was supposed to go and build a positive news newspaper, and that's it. And I was then on disability with 3 incurable diseases, with a 1-year-old and an 8-year-old, and no support system or family, and no freaking idea how to make a paper.
Wow.
So, but I figured, yeah, I'm pretty, it was an all-in commitment. I took my entire month's disability check of, I don't know, I think it was like $437 to make the first newspaper.
Wow, so you really were stepping out in faith, expecting a response, expecting something good to come back out of.
I didn't have anywhere to go to. I was already at the bottom, right? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, you know that, we know that. That's a lot of times where we start in our journey of getting to a place of really having to trust the universe and looking at what, you know, desires, thoughts, and things are coming to us, because they're coming straight for the universe. So, wow, that's cool. So starting that first year, what was your biggest challenge?
Everything.
Yeah, that's an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, because I wasn't one before that either, right? Like I was a person labeled physically disabled permanently by the province of BC, and living on disability, and no previous history of doing something crazy like this. Like, it was very external from myself. It was like God talking to me in my living room. It was like, build the friggin' ark. It was out there. So the whole process felt very external. So I actually listened to the voice because I didn't know what the hell it was, and I didn't want to, you know, it was obviously something that was coming from a bigger place, and I didn't want to not listen to it. So I followed guidance, and this is why I was saying it's probably not going to be the typical, well, this is how I was an entrepreneur story, because it was a very esoteric. This voice was very specific and detailed, and sometimes never shut the hell up. I was working 16, 18 hours a day and then collapsing for a few hours. And then I remember one time during the transition between paper and web, for as an example of how it would work, is it literally shook me awake with the solution of a problem I'd been trying to figure out during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I literally shook my shoulder violently and then like 4 a.m. going, view in browser and save page as, view in browser and save page as. Like, it was very weird. Like, it was not, I can't even explain it. So I call it the upstairs team. So it's very, that's why I say it's a spirit-driven thing here, because it's unusual in the way that it came about and runs.
Wow.
So I didn't have a typical challenge. Everything was like, huh? You know, like, it was coming out of complete nothing, no resources or ideas of how to do anything from the worst, you know, place positionally I could have been in, right? I don't even know how I did it.
Wow. Well, it's kind of like the, not exactly, but somewhat similar to the, you know, Neil Donald Walsh with Conversations with God.
Yes.
And just, you know, manifesting and coming, just coming to you, just knowing that, you know, not just whatever the next step is, comes.
Yeah, it was like the, I was just the body that was taking the steps that the voice was. I mean, it sounds a bit out there. It sounds a bit nuts, you know, but that's what it was, 100%. Like, I didn't know how to make a paper. Like, do you have any idea what goes into making a newspaper?
A lot.
Yeah, it's crazy,
a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
And somehow it happened. But it was that external guidance, fully committed to. I was definitely failure is not an option mode. That was very strong in following it. That's how committed I was. Because I didn't have anything else to follow. Like, the rest, the other option was stay in the crap. That made the choice. Yeah, but it was 100%.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, as you got into that place and moved through, you know, a lot of different things, it sounds like you're also dealing with the physical things that are going on. How did you overcome that? How did that work for you?
Well, that took a little longer, but the irony of, in a way, that teach what you most need to know or create what you most need to have is what it was, right? So through we ended up covering and participating in, I mean, I would go and cover intensive processes and weekends and trainings that I never would have had access to otherwise. And through that, I learned how to change matter with the mind, essentially, and change the situation of the diseases. And got off disability and independent in my own power. So it was through all the coverage, in quotation marks, that my newspaper, which transferred into, you know, multimedia and radio and everything else, came about. So as I served by finding and delivering the information, I was also getting helped by it and evolving.
Yes. Following the path.
I don't even think there was a path. I had a scythe, lazy brush.
I love that. I love that. Well, you know, that's kind of, though, in that process of manifesting. And again, you know, it's different for everyone, but there's, you know, a lot of folks that go through that. They find themselves in that place. And sometimes the path is just not clear. And you just stay with it until it clears in some way or something else, the answers start coming.
Yeah, no, there was no path, there was no light. It was the voice sometimes would go silent, and my mantras would be like, the light is in the darkness, the gift is in the darkness, there's no failure, is not an option. You just breathe and hold the course until the next thing came, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't the happy, fluffy, blissful, brilliant marketing journey in it. It was very, for me, it was very out there, trippy, esoteric, and spiritual.
And rebirth, nearly.
Entirely.
Yeah, rebirth. And so then from the newspaper, you got into multimedia, and then that kind of went into starting the radio program, right?
Yeah. Again, not my, it's not like, oh, I have a dream and a goal. I didn't want to do any of this stuff. New. As an example, the move into audio and radio, it was all around this guided purpose shift.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just around 9/11, just before.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, a few people had helped put together this sort of mastermind group that opened me up to, okay, it doesn't have to look exactly like the other newspaper and land on the porch. It can come in different forms. And so as I started getting that guidance, there's this deep sense of urgency to get it in place and functioning. And this is way back when getting audio on webs was, oh, my God. If you were able to do it, that's great, but no one could even access it barely because it would crash their computer or browser when they got to it, right? Like it was back then. And
yep.
Literally the night before 9/11 happened, I had clicked the last thing in place and went, oh, there, I made it. And I didn't know what I'd made, but, you know, from the guidance voice, I knew I'd made the deadline or whatever it was. And then I got up and knew exactly what it was the next day. And my first interview was talking to Deepak Chopra while he was waiting in CNN. We tried to do the initial interview, and I couldn't figure out the audio. I had one of those, like, you know, where you push the two buttons to record? Like, this is a long time ago.
Right, yes.
Yeah, with the phone line and everything. So the audio wasn't working the first time we talked. So he said, I'll call you back. I have to get to CNN for an interview, right? And so he was in CNN, and they weren't putting him on. They were putting on all the warmongering messages, and they didn't put him on that day with the consciousness message, right? So he actually phoned me from there, and we did the interview over the phone from there. That was how we started being on purpose doing audio and multimedia, and then radio came right out of that, because that's also where I connected with Daniel Brinkley, and then he ended up being my co-host for the first 2 years of Radio,
mm-hmm.
which is insane and wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to back up a second. Now, how did you get the interview with Deepak Chopra? How did you back up into that a bit? Just curious.
Well, again, I get very specific instructions from the voice. I also stood there gaping at CNN coverage when that was happening and knew that's why I was supposed to be. I was supposed to do something, right? Like a conscious program approach around the coverage. And then I don't even remember who I called, but I made some calls and somehow, literally within hours, had connected.
So you had a thought and then you kind of connected with that. You acted on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said,
it
was, as soon as it started, it was immediate, 100% listening and following the voice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The guidance, whatever we feel comfortable calling it.
Right, intuition, whatever.
Yeah. So none of this was coming from a typical place of, oh, I'd like to do this and maybe make money doing that and have a goal and a system. I wasn't in any of that, none of that. I didn't want to do any of this. I didn't think it was, I don't like being public and speaking publicly and being seen and having to be heard. And, like, that's not what I want to do, but it's my purpose.
Right.
And the voice knew that it was my purpose and that I could do it, apparently, unbeknownst to myself. And that's what I was following.
Well, you know, that's just amazing in itself, and I totally get that. There's so many people you see out there, and you hear this every day, that are looking for their purpose, right? You know, that's kind of a lead into so many things, you know, looking for your tribe, your purpose, your mission, your whatever. You know, how would you kind of describe that for someone if you were talking to someone looking for their purpose?
Well, I mean, in my framework, it feels like, you know, we were put onto this planet to do something specific. Each individual has a specific thing they're put here to do, to serve humanity or the planet in some way.
Yeah,
simply
I think just
put.
Getting in touch with that, you know, I certainly feel that for myself, and I have since I was a child, that there was, you know, something going on. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, just come to you or flash or this is it. Sometimes you just have to kind of, you know, follow that place of what, you know, what instincts you have and the direction to go. And you certainly have followed that, continue to follow that.
Right. You get sort of breadcrumb trail hints, too. I mean, it doesn't always come like God talking to you in your living room, but there's breadcrumb when you become more conscious about it and ask and look for the answers, right?
Yeah.
Following what shows up.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I call those possibilities. You don't know what they are, but there's, you know, all these possibilities and however you want to look at that, and you have to sometimes just be still to look at it. It's like synchronicity. I like that word. I love synchronicity, that it just kind of comes, something clicks and you just go that direction and then something else clicks and it just falls into place. But you have to be conscious enough to look at, you know, be still enough to wait for whatever's coming or to see it, to be conscious enough to just see it.
Yeah, and it can fall into place, but it still involves massive action.
Does, yeah. Absolutely. That's one of the places where, you know, it's not just going to fall on your head and here it is and you don't have to actually step out and do something. That's kind of the fun part of it, though, is stepping out and taking action to see what the next step may be. But once you get into that place, and I think in manifesting, you know, once you get things going, so you start, it's all about energy. And once you particularly have that energy starting to move, and you get momentum and you get desire, and it just starts then really moving, then things really start shaking up and showing up.
It's also that the inspired action, not worried action or frantic action or desperate action or, you know, self-deprecating action. Like sometimes it has to be from that right place. And not only that, I would find that if I wasn't in the right energy or frame of consciousness, the same exact actions would have opposite results, right? Like
Excellent point. And advice, because you can't make it happen.
No.
It's one of those things that you can't make it happen. And sometimes less is more. You know, sitting back and waiting sometimes till you have that intuition that it's time to make a move.
Well, I learned the hard way usually that I had to come from authentically high energy place in balance before I took any action. So I'd have to take a lot of action to get myself into that state of mind. So it's not like I was just waiting. I was working on that first and then taking the other action steps. But I would literally, I'm telling you, opposite results. If I didn't, it's all about how you do it, not what you do, you know?
Yeah, that's really, really true in what place you're in.
Opposite results. I've tested the theory willingly and willingly and 100% every time.
100% know that that's it. That's true. I think when we try and make things happen, it's the opposite. And it's getting to that place of consciousness, which we have that deep knowing that we really know. You know, we know when we're in, we know when we're not in that place.
Yeah. I mean, we know when we feel good and when we feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I'm saying literal same steps, like say the same words, the same actions, exact same. Keep me wearing the same outfit. Everything the same, opposite reactions, just based on how you're feeling. Incredible.
Yeah. That's a big piece right there, Nicole. I mean, you nearly have to just kind of take that in because that's really a huge piece.
Yes, it's important. It's a real, you know, we can save ourselves so much struggle and crap, you know.
Yep. We get in our own way, do we not?
I mean, you can imagine what my consciousness around money must have been handing over a disability check. The gods talking to me in my living room, and my 1-year-old and 8-year-old need to eat. I mean, you can imagine how I've had to work on all that stuff.
I can't imagine that.
I can barely imagine.
Certainly to the same extent, but you know, I went through an experience, won't go into great detail, but you know, left with a 2-year-old and trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to do this? And and really
so
that fear factor, which is huge, no matter whether you have some support, and I certainly had some support, you know, from parents and that kind of thing. But, you know, knowing I need to do this, what am I going to do?
And for me personally, I think that's what the 20 years has been working on, you know, learning, evolving around that, covering and somehow mystically helping thousands of other people do the same thing while we're doing it, which was pretty cool. You know, but
it's not like
I had that figured out in year one. I'm still working on it. You level up and level up and level up, and then your next level of stuff is in your face, and then you level up and level up. Like, it's not, I don't think we're ever done. It's just
we are
next.
Never done. No, I don't think we're ever done. I look at that really kind of as a spiral, you know, that spiral, and it keeps coming back. You know, as you go up and then you come back again, and you get to learn that lesson again, and guess what? You know, it goes up a bit, and then it comes back. So
and
I guess what? I get to learn.
When the lesson comes back, you're learning it in a different way, though. You're on a different level with it. So it's the same, but totally different.
Yeah, exactly.
And
well,
the good news is you
can
really go back. You know, you never unsee or unlearn what you've done. Sometimes it feels like it for a minute, but you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's always outward and upward and bigger.
It's true. Well, as you started in, was your program always called the radio program, multimedia? Was it always News for the Soul, or did that evolve?
The newspaper itself, that's funny, because it started as No News, like KNOW. But, of course, phonetically, when hearing it, you know, the whole point of it was what you focus on expands. Essentially, it's always been the essence of it, like focusing on the positives. But, of course, that's evolved. Where it's not about that anymore. It's about empowerment, period. But that's a good naming, empowerment, period. Anyway, back then it was K-N-O-W, but of course verbally when you hear that it sounds like no N-O, so it's a negative, so that had to go pretty quick. And then the second thing, again, it was about sort of where I perceived I was coming out of doing this and the journey, so it was the Phoenix News Network after that, so, you know, Phoenix out of the ashes, because that's all I had before right. was ashes. And but so the transition into news for this old, where the hell did that come from? And that showed up once we hit online and the website creation. I don't know where it came from. See, there's another voice thing. It came from the voice somewhere. And I can't even, that's sad, isn't it? I can't even remember when that one happened.
Well, 20 huh. years is a long time. What's interesting that you had, you know, Phoenix out of the ashes and yet coming in right at that same time of 9/11.
Oh, my God, right? Yeah, crazy.
I mean, that was out of the ashes.
I mean, that was literally, I mean, I was, that was around that time, that example I gave of being shaken awake and viewing browser and save page as for the thing I'd been trying to figure out for days or whatever it was. And it was like, yeah. I was getting a lot of directions. I mean, the directions I got from the voice, like, I'm not talking
right.
about your own mind going, hey, let's go do that or follow that thing. It was like, okay, you're going to go to the building on the left, downstairs to the second level, go left, and there's a lady in a red shirt, and she'll have the answer to the question. You're like, I mean, I'm saying specific.
Really specific.
And yeah, like I was tapping it, or something else was tapping into me that was felt pretty big.
Right.
That's where we sort of go on that esoteric limb a little bit.
But yeah. My goodness.
Around that whole time with 9/11, that felt very important, as does the time we're in now.
That's where I was going with that. I was like, you know, all of a sudden I was really kind of feeling that, seeing that, thinking, isn't that interesting? 20 years and where are we today and where were you then? And, you know, what was Deepak, you know, on CNN with 9/11 and what would he be saying today?
Well, it's interesting. I still have that old recording. I should post it up
yeah.
as part of our 20 years.
Yeah, that
that's
would be really
on the air was they, because it was all about they had their America's New War logo jingle by like halfway through the first day on their coverage, and it was all about war on terror. And he was coming on to say, you know, you need to be conscious and get to the conscious cause of what's going on right now. Otherwise, you're going to make it way worse, which they did, right? So that's what he was saying back then. But also back then, I mean, I've talked to so many amazing luminaries on the planet, and we've all been talking about this time that was coming. And I think back then we thought it was like a time where it's just going to be all great. No, it's this mm-hmm. time now. We're now in the time that we talked about, and it's all about major change into hopefully something great. On that note, I had a voice message today when I woke up, loud and clear, because I've been, as many, pretty unsettled since the election and a lot of the stuff going on in the world. Everything's getting shaken up, especially politically all around the world, like crazy right now. And I think collectively
yeah.
we've all been feeling this, like we're on an energetic, etheric earthquake vibe, right? But I woke up
right.
today, the first message I've had other than just, you know, ride the wave kind of thing, was very clear and loud. All is going according to plan.
Wow. I totally believe that. Absolutely.
Yeah,
all is
it
going.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, I
got
just
that
had
the first of the year. And I think we kind of
Oof.
Talked about it, you know, a couple of programs
yeah.
ago, maybe even right afterwards, because it felt like total craziness. But at the same time, underneath that, there was, you know, there are no mistakes.
Right.
There are no mistakes going on here. And we don't see them. We don't feel them. In fact, you know, we're feeling the opposite. But the reality is this is a major shakeup, and it's, you know, it's happening for a reason.
Yeah. Like, I knew that intellectually. A lot of us knew that had been on the consciousness path intellectually.
Yep.
But at the same
yeah.
time, like, yeah, and, or but, right? But that was the
right.
first message, loud and strong, that I got that made me just go, oh, okay. Like, from that place from higher guidance
yeah.
up there, you know, it felt so clear and so sure. So that was good.
That's very good. We need to hear those kind of things. I mean, I think it's at a time where, you know, it is unbelievable reality that sometimes it's hard to just wrap your head around it. I mean, there are days that, you know, you just can't quite, you know, figure it out. Let's, and not that we'll ever figure it out, but I think it's like you said, you know, when 9/11 happened and then Deepak Chopra came on and talked about being conscious now and getting into a place of not going with the flow of what's happening politically, not getting into fear, not getting into warmongering, not getting into that place, because you just support that. I mean, if you just go by the law of attraction that says you put your focus, energy, and attention on what you want, not what you don't want. And if we give all of our focus to all of this that we don't want, guess what? We just get more of it.
Heat fills of it. Yep. Yeah, it's crazy. But it doesn't. Also doesn't mean, like that message today doesn't mean, well, we can go back to sleep and not worry about it. There's a lot of action required right now in discipline,
right.
And going back to everything we've talked about for 20 years about empowerment and focusedness and consciousness, and like it's literally critical right now that we take that action every minute of every day.
Yeah, I think it's even more critical now than it's ever been.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, of taking some sort of action, not just laying back and thinking, oh, well, this too shall pass or something else will happen. I think for each individual, it really is a place of going, it's an inside job. And going into that place of, you know, what can I do? You know, how can I step out? How can I make a difference? How can I change myself? Because really the only person we can change is ourselves. However, at the same time, getting involved, getting active, you know, going to that deep place that, you know, you figure out, what am I called to do here?
Yeah, or you know, I wish I had some kind of, oh, how to hear the voice system. I have no idea how. You know, I do it. But literally just doing our work and setting the intention and being present and not coming from programming and fear is essential right now. Not one person was put here on this planet to, you know, cruise through apathetically and take no action. No one.
No. No, that's true. And I think that we, you know, have a culture that...
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, so... It's going to be an interesting next couple of years or next 20 years.
Yeah, I think it really, really is. But, you know, we get to come, I think, to this time. We're here at this specific time for a reason, too. We could have come any time, but we're here, you know. So, hey, we're called. We're already called.
You know, when you pull out of the drama of everything and the judgment of everything and take a big breath and then kind of float back about 1,000 feet and look at it from there, it's really quite exciting. We didn't come at a boring time.
Well, it is. I think we're more alive. People are more alive right now than they've been in years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, more active, more alive. And, you know, there's been a lot of energy, whether that's negative, positive. It's been all across the board. But, you know, it has really shook things up. And I think we've got more shaking to do. So, you know, finding that place to go through that in a positive way is kind of the individual goal for everyone. Figure out what works for them.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, well, you can go through this, you know, in hell, or you can go through this empowered. Those seem to be the two choices. But I think this has only been the first light rumble.
I agree with that. I really do. Well, going back to when you started this, and then I'm going to kind of go through the Deepak thing, and then you started doing a lot of different interviews with all kinds of luminaries. What were some of the highlights of those first years, that people that you were talking to, things that were happening?
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, I was actually doing a crazy amount of stuff, like not only figuring out how to make a newspaper and deliver it, using my kids, by the way. They went to work early. And, you know, we started small, use what you got and do something with it and go from there. It was always the concept, because I had no choice, right? But I was doing monthly or weekly events, like breakfast meetings with like people like T. Harv Eker and John Kehoe presenting. Like, it was insane. I'd have monthly or you know, every 3 months I'd have a huge event with like 14 speakers and musicians. And I was doing so much stuff. I was almost killing myself. Like, I don't know why I was doing that much. So that's what I'm saying, was I learned how to not go totally insane, right, and killing yourself, because that doesn't achieve the goal. So I toned it down eventually, and then once we got sort of mainstreamed into online, and then the 9/11 and the clearer purpose, you know, evolved,
that's when things, like I ended up on a huge radio station covering the entire province of BC for the first couple of years, manifested Daniel Brinkley out of thin air, which again, like you can't make this stuff happen. Like it wasn't like it was a goal, you know, I'll just secure a famous person and go on the air. And like none of this was my plan. And then in the people and the experiences, I mean, Stuart Wilde came all the way over here just to hang out with me one-on-one, which is the most unique experience that I've ever had. It defies description. People like, well, T. Harv Eker was still local here at Peak Potentials. He was actually a columnist in my newspaper.
Really?
Yes, yeah, crazy stuff. I trained with him for 4 years while he did columns.
Now, this was in Canada?
Yeah, Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then from there, did a lot of work with James Ray. He was one of our top speakers for many years, always on that leading exploration level. I did a decade or more of training with former CIA remote viewer David Morehouse. I'm actually a paid precog now for a company in the States. I remote view every week, and that's an essential life-altering skill that I can't say enough about. And then the high-level luminaries that are out there making a difference. Too many to list, as you know. Highlights, boy, geez. I mean, we had Neil Donald Walsh. Actually, it was funny. The first time Neil Donald Walsh came in, apparently Daniel and Neil Donald didn't get along.
Uh-oh.
Horrifying train wreck on the air, Daniel. Speaking over him and interrupting and just being a, you know what. And
oh,
so I had hardcore training of how to manage energy and space on the air, and that was part of it. But I ended up interviewing him twice after that, and I don't think he remembered who I was because he just remembered the Danian kerfuffle, right? And at the end of it, both times he said, that was a really great interview. I'd really like to get a copy of that. So I thought that was kind of funny. But over the years, everybody you can think of, I went and filmed with my friend Pete out in New Mexico, James Redfield, and I forgot his wife's name.
I know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I know that. I can't even. James Redfield from Alabama.
Sally. James and Sally. Oh, boy. There's so many to think of. There was so many. We did a lot of the, because it's from the uplifting to the unexplained, so a lot of it is the unexplained and trying to not come from fear. That's the only reason I cover that, because I had so many paranormal events going on in my own house. Like, it was just, and I'd be terrified, you know? My stereo turning on at 3 a.m, full blast for no reason, and all kinds of stuff constantly, and putting me into terror. I mean, really, you think about it, the guidance voice was a paranormal event, right? I mean, there's been so much. So we used to do live, we called them ghost bus, but we weren't busting anything. It was an exploration of communication. Clearing, and we had so many dramatic things happening when we were doing that. I'm actually meeting with David, who I did some of that work on the air with, in an hour from now. We haven't seen each other for years, so there you go.
How funny. Speak a little bit about David Morehouse. There may be some people that don't know who he is and what he does.
He was in the original Stargate program at the CIA. His science developed in the 60s to the tune of millions of dollars of research that is a system where anybody, psychic or not, can transmute over time and space and collect data on targets. And so it's essentially how to be so-called psychic, right, in a system that anyone can learn.
Right.
He was dishonorably discharged by letting out information about it. And then sometime after that, I guess they supposedly stopped doing it in the military, which I don't believe for a second. And then he started teaching classes. I went and did, hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of training at all the levels that he had offered. And then we went to Puerto Rico for the first Alliance of the New Humanities with Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson. We went on to Universal Studios and did a show where they tested and proved it to be a real thing. We did a live beacon target and had good results. We went to Peru and communicated with something that looked like UFOs, which we filmed extensively. I could go on. It's been eventful.
Whoa. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, that was one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, because I think there's a lot of folks, like I said, you know, that, you know, just kind of, you've had such an interesting life and continuing to, and doing all kinds of different things, and have really been into this consciousness movement for a long, long time. It's interesting that you mentioned David and, you know, getting, you know, the Stargate and psychic and, you know, being involved with the government and then out of the government, again, relating that to what's going on today of who's leaking what, when, and where.
Yeah.
Interesting, the connections of all of these different things that we don't think connect but actually do connect.
Yes,
because everything connects.
Do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just a tippy highlight point of all the things that have gone on and are going on and continuing to evolve. But you're right, I don't talk about it much. I hide in the background and let you guys do your shows and push the buttons. So this has been interesting.
Well, it really has been very interesting for me. And, you know, you and I have connected on a really unique level, and yet knowing a little bit more of, you know, where you've come from. 20 years, I mean, lots of things happening, and you've met so many people and interviewed so many people and have seen so much of this consciousness movement. If there was anything you could say about, you know, just the consciousness movement as it has progressed, where we are today from 20 years ago, how would you express that?
Oh, my God. You know, I used to be, like, seen as a total fruitcake. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I was horrified back then. One of my first huge interviews, which was pinnacle and critical, and I'm so glad I did it, was with David Icke. And he was coming into Vancouver before he got banned from the country, and he was doing an event because he talks about everything conspiratorial and, you know, reptile underground things are running the world, and right?
Yeah.
But he is so spot on about articulating consciousness and what's going on. He was such a critical, important part of shaking up and waking up and articulating important things. He's actually coming on the show. We haven't talked in years as well. He's coming on in May, I think it is, up soon.
Oh,
but
wonderful.
Back then, all of us doing this were sort of, you know, there was like-minded and then there was mainstream. That's sort of fuzzed all gone now. I mean, you know, part of the secret coming out on Oprah made a big difference of just kind of a general awakening. But not only that,
right,
with a big shake in the energy right now, people are aware, even if they haven't done any of this work, they're aware of something to a degree, some a lot more than others. But there's a whole general waking up. So this is no longer, you know, the science, quantum physics, so many things have caught up with the quote woo-woo stuff we were sensing in small groups back then. It's no longer, like, I've never used the words like-minded to describe our thing for years because it's evolving and it's constantly moving. So I can go almost anywhere and talk about what I do and not be looked at twice other than, oh, neat, you know, or wow. But the
I want to know more.
Yeah. Back then it was like, wow, she's gone. Yeah. So we've come volumes of distances. Not only that, but with among them, like-minded, I'll use that now, community itself, you know, in finding people to work with. As you know, I do it an intuitive process of private invite only. And back then, holy moly, like, our community was so not in our power about speaking our truth and especially about charging our worth for our work. That was such a huge thing. I would have people going, oh, this, none of any of this should ever be anything but totally free, you know, healing work and intuitive work and everything. So we've come so far in 20 years that it's remarkable, which means it's probably exponentially equally speeding up to the point of, like, just every year now we're going to go huge quantum leaps forward.
I was going to say, even, you know, 20 years in the last 5 years, it's just even moved further in people realizing, you know, it's like you were talking about, you know, you've done, you know, years and years and years and training and training and training, and people investing in themselves. I mean, investing in themselves to learn, you know, to grow, to, you know, it's just, it's amazing. I think so many more people are willing today to invest in who they are and where they want to be and learning.
Well, without learning, I would have, you know, listening frantically and fearfully to a voice speaking to me, I wouldn't have gotten very far without actually learning. And, like, I mean, I was always training with somebody, and somebody big and on the leading edge and, you know, a lot of experiential stuff, dangling off of ropes on cliffs at warrior camps and stuff. I mean, you know, whatever it takes, right? You must have some learning.
Yeah. I've done the same thing. I mean, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, you know, going to retreats and all over the place. In fact, some of my favorite retreats have been up in Canada. I love Canada. And you know, just all over the world, and I just thoroughly enjoy that. It's a, you know, if you're not learning, you're dying.
Yeah, it's
that simple. To me, it is, and you know, just you know, getting the right teachers, getting the right mentors, being able to step out and grow, be willing to pay for that. And people are being, you know, willing to do that now. They need to. What else are they investing in that has value, lasting value?
Well, yeah, anything
and
that's altering life as you know it and putting you on the right path is invaluable.
Invaluable. And you've got so many people on now on News for the Soul. How many different programs do you have? How many numbers?
Well, it's growing every day, literally. I think we've got about 60-something right now.
Wow. From all different genres.
Yes, and all different countries. Like, it's so amazing. See, now technology's caught up, you know, from the day back with the little box with the two buttons trying to get Deepak on the show.
Yeah.
Now, you know, people can Skype into our switchboard from any country. It's clear as a bell. It's broadcast quality. It's friggin' amazing. Anybody can access it now on anything. That's our latest development here. It's like our live feed, even everything. We've got an app, and you can hear it on any, like even on our website, if you go on a phone or an Android device, anything, and you've got it right there.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep, it is amazing. And you've got, you know, also people that are doing and, you know, online courses. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. You can take a course now with, you know, Kevin Spacey, you know, for acting.
Yeah.
It's just changed so much. I mean, there's a screenplay on there. You know, it's just whoever you want to study with, just about you can. So it's just out there. It's open. It's available. And it's amazing.
It truly is. I don't take it for granted for one second after what we've been through, I'll tell you.
No,
but
I don't either, and I'm so grateful to just have had the opportunities, you know, and taken those opportunities.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that going into my session today. I was doing it, my remote viewing session an hour ago, and I thought, God, what if I never connected or got my ass off that couch on that one day to answer the phone or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, entirely different, and not one that I prefer. I mean,
no.
One little small action can change everything forever.
That is so true. That's so true. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Well, you got me talking about myself today.
I love you talking about yourself, and I think that was kind of one of the things, like I said, you know, as I think about this, I'm coming into, you know, looking at what I'm going to do on my programs, I usually just do it very intuitively because that's how I work and thinking. And I know I just kept thinking, you know, I want to interview Nicole because I know she's got a lot to say. And she's had an interesting life. She's doing so many wonderful things. Let's hear a little bit more about that. And I know, this has been a big year in addition to 20 years for News for the Soul. And then, you know, all that's going on, I thought it's just the perfect time to touch base. And you're listening every day to a lot of folks that have a lot of different, you know, opinions and on, you know, what's going on for them wherever they are, all over the world. It's not.
I am so lucky. I'll tell you, I am so lucky. I just get to sit in the splash zone, as I call it, and soak it all up.
Yep. And you've done some traveling. You've been traveling this year too.
Oh yeah, that was, yeah, that's another cool thing. Out of the blue, no planning. I'm suddenly in the Middle East with my youngest daughter, having an amazing time and experiencing the energy. It's like crew, right? You can talk about it till the cows come home, but you got to go there to feel it and touch things and experience what it is. And I'm so glad. Yeah, we ended up in Dubai.
That's so good. How did that come about?
It was really strange. It was one of those, this was more like a breadcrumb trail rather than, you know, the voice commanding me, Middle East, right? But in retrospect, it was so perfect because the other thing I end up doing whenever I'm not on the air, I'm usually performing or teaching or working at my belly dance stuff. So connect the roots of antiquity and the energy and be there was so, it just activated something energetically in my chakras or something. I don't know. It was because it's the difference of talking about it and connecting with it physically. And that was amazing. And to have that special journey with my daughter, you know, like she's very tuned in energetically. And we were amazed that we could go alone to the Middle East and feel safe night and day, traveling on our own in the subway and taxis and whatever, and just being okay, you know, and feel like we expected it to be something else. And it was a beautiful energy. And something about the prayer call going out 5 times a day every day for the entire
It's
visceral in the energy, right? You can feel this beautiful thing in the air.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Plus, of course, we did fun. I got into the Verge, you know, and experienced that five diamond level luxury and just, you know, just playing around with all the energies. It was amazing.
Oh, that must have been so much fun. And what was Dubai? I mean, just generally, other than that, I mean, so a modern city, but yet culturally so cool.
It is. Very cool place. We want to go back, ride some camels. We didn't do the camel ride this time, but we did the safari. They don't even tell you. They don't talk to you. You just get in the back of this SUV and start driving. And I'm thinking, oh, we're just going to the camp because we get to see belly dancers and, you know, eat kebabs and things. And it was so, I'm so excited. This guy starts driving like a bat out of hell, and the sand dunes are getting higher and higher. He's going like as fast as possible. And they don't tell you they're going to do it. We're like in the back at first. We're kind of,
funny, if they told you they were going to do it, you'd probably say no thanks or possibly.
Yeah. That part, yeah, but oh my god, I was pretty much pasted to the bottom of the SUV by the second half of the ride. Pretty intense, it was fun.
Oh, that's funny. Well, maybe you need to get a travel group together to sponsor a travel News for the Soul to Dubai.
There's an idea,
yeah, I like that. Okay, I've got to connect back to the belly dancing because I, you know, we don't have a lot of time here, but it was interesting because I tried belly dancing once and I really did not do well, but. You know, that was umpteen years ago. Not everything's for it, but that's so interesting. And how long have you been doing that? I know you're very good at it.
Working on it every day. But basically, I think belly dancing actually saved my life because it, you know, I'm everything here, I'm in left brain when I'm not out brain. And that takes me right into the other side and balances everything out. And that's partly how, you know, I've been able to getting healthier, right?
But
it takes a good 10 years to even master the basic fundamentals. It's not something you get at one session, and it's totally normal.
That's probably
when you
I didn't do so well, thinking it was going to come,
totally,
you know, could have it in two lessons.
Oh, hell no. No, it's hard. You can find muscles that you've never even knew you had and learn how to control them without moving any other muscles, you know, simultaneously. It's the work. A lot of work, and you were never done at that one. Let me tell you, like the levels and the community and the world of belly dance is huge and evolving, and especially in North America, it's incredible, huge community that's always getting together and doing stuff, and you're always going to the next hardest level of drilling and learning, and it's immense. But I think it saved my life.
Wow, I love that. That's so interesting, and it makes perfect sense. I think you have to find that balance. Mine happens to be nature, gardening, that kind of thing, but. I love the belly dancing thing because it's so much body. I mean, everything's body, but that's really intense, like yoga, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
but it's
cool.
Also femininity and feminine power that's from antiquity and connected to the earth, and there's something extra there.
Absolutely. Well, I may have to check into belly dancing again.
I think you should.
I think I should. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your program, my program, and so forth, and just learning more about you and News for the Soul. And it's just really incredible. So incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. We'll have to do it again. We've just gotten through, you know, maybe the first 10 years.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, goodness.
Funny, you know, it's like that thing I was trying to explain in the beginning. It's beyond just what we can conceive with our mind as far as goals. I never planned or wanted to do any of this. And even when I got your email today, and, you know, for those listening, we didn't plan this or anything.
Right.
And my lower self immediately goes, oh, God, I have to talk about myself. Oh, you know, so, I mean, that's normal. So many people need to hear that because they're, you know, they don't step forward on a goal because they don't think that they're getting all signs or a go or there's stuff coming up. It's normal to have stuff come up. But once you find your purpose, you got to ignore that, lower self-voice, and get your gear and get her done. So I'm glad we did it.
Yes, get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah, that's essential.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And we will talk again, or we'll be on the air together in 2 weeks.
We will, yay. And in the meantime, don't slip away without letting people know a little bit about what you do. And some
that's
shame
right, because we've talked about Nicole, and that's been good, and it's wonderful. But Millionaire Mindset Coach, go to Anita G. Wheeler. Taylor.com, there's a new mindset assessment, which you can do to kind of see where you are in your thinking, what it is you want, what it is you don't want, how to manifest more abundance in your life, whether abundance is money, relationship, jobs, whatever. Go to AnitaGWheeler.com and also on Facebook. So that's going to be it for today. And we will be here 2 weeks from today at 6 p.m. So join us again.
Yay. Thanks, Anita.
Thank you, Nicole, so much.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the ride.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
And we love News for the Soul!
I'm feeling enormous energy around this show. Just enormous, enormous. I really have to hand it to you, Nicole. You've created sort of a niche of amazing, amazing connections. It's just like... the angels and the devatas that are like attracted to News for the Soul is amazing. This is what's getting, it's some angel telling somebody, okay, listen, get on this show, listen to this program, even not my program, whatever program you've got on. It's really amazing.
It's hard to believe it's 17 years since I was there in Vancouver, and you were sitting there in class and you were using remote viewing, and I think I said to you that you were going to be a radio talk show host or something along those lines. It wasn't really a prediction. It was just a kind of a sense of who you were and what you were doing and the direction you were going. And wow, voila. And there you were.
And still going.
But it's amazing. Look at what you've done with it. I just wanted to say I'm very proud of you for what you've accomplished, for just the format, to the assemblage of wonderful people, great minds, and people who are working to serve humanity and do the things that they do. I've been looking through your list of callers and interviewees, and you just do a tremendous job. I'm so proud of you. I really am. And I'm proud of all the people that support you and follow you and do what they do, and just keep doing that for this wonderful woman. It's so important because there are not a lot of really high quality message portals that are out there where messengers get to come in and say what they want to say in this format. So it's because of your support of her that she's able to continue doing that. So please step that up and continue doing it. And I just want to do it more. I mean, I feel good being here and being with you. I always do when I'm talking with you. So I think we just need to keep doing this more.
And we love News for the Soul!
Hello, everybody. This is Damian Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Enfoldment. This is News for the Soul.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.